We dedicate the shiur today as a schus refuah shlema for Mordechai Menachem Mendel Ben Gedendel. It's Marvin Gornish. Unfortunately, is not well. He fell out of bed and shem refuah shlema. As well as Drew Dorman and Shelly Peskin and Ron Ware, and all need to get out of the hospital as soon as possible. All four of them. Shem refuah shlema v'karif. Okay. What's that? This is the same. Yeah, we're going to hopefully try to finish the mitzvah of not breaking a bone of the Pesach. That's a page, we're on page 31, I believe. We started the Ramban, and basically what the Ramban was saying was the reason why the Rabbeinu Shlomo gave us so many mitzvahs is because he does not choose to make open miracles for just any Tom, Dick, and Harry. What he did was at one time when the Jewish people deserved it, he did tremendous miracles for us. And through that, he revealed himself, revealed that he was in control, that he created the world, that he's involved in the world, to refute all the different beliefs of the Egyptians. And as many of the psukim reflect, as we mentioned, and these great revelations was a one-time, in a sense, a one-time thing. And the idea is to then pass over, no pun intended, the experience, pass that over from generation to generation to our children, our children's children, and so on. And that's why the Torah gives us so many mitzvos as reminders, and it's important to have many of them, because the more you have, the more dramatic, the more passionate, the more complete the message will be. And that's why the Torah was exceedingly careful with the mitzvah of Pesach, the mitzvah of eating, not eating chametz, etc., where the punishment is very severe. And that's because This message is so crucial to our existence. This message is so crucial to our nationhood, our understanding, our understanding of Hashem, and our role that is to be played in this world, etc. And therefore, we'll start from the paragraph V'chein Kol Kiyotze. It's about 10 lines down from the top of page 31. Got it there, page 31. From the top of the page, it's about 10 lines down. V'chein kol kiyotze b'hen. And so too, many mitzvos rabos, many mitzvos are zeich l'tzias Mitzrayim, are given to us as a reminder for yitzias Mitzrayim. V'hakol liyeis lanu b'chol adayreis, in order that all the generations we should have edus b'mayvsim shlo yishtakchu. We should have a testimony to the great nisim that the Rabbeinu Shlom did, and the proof that this sort of system works is you see that till this very day. Yes? You ever speak to a Jewish person, one of the first things they do when they try to bagel you is they mention matzah balls. Is that right? Where does matzah come from? It comes from Pesach. I mean, it's ingrained in our culture. It's part of the fabric of our nation. Yes? Why? Because that's the way it was intended. Now, unfortunately for some people, the entire Pesach boils down to the matzah balls. Other people are makbid on gebrucks. No. Other people recognize that the matzah ball, the matzah and all that, is just a symbol and a reminder of greater and more important things. But the point is, a person shouldn't have the ability to refute the faith, the belief in Hashem. This is where we were up to last time. We have to recognize this, the value of a mitzvah. It's not just the quantity, the quality of a mitzvah, the value qualitatively of each mitzvah. Ki hakayin mezuzah bezuzah echad, one who who acquires a mezuzah with one little coin. V'kava b'pizchay, and he, today, by the way, if you want a decent mezuzah, it's a pretty penny. It's a penny, but it's a pretty penny.
Yeah.
A few pretty pennies. But in any case, one who buys a mezuzah, I guess you can get away with a much cheaper one, theoretically, that is just barely kosher, right? Person who acquires a mezuzah, the kava b'pizchay, and he anchors it into his doorway, v'niskaven b'inyanak, and he intends all the intentions that are there for the purpose of the remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, of remembering the Rebbeinu Shalom. Through that, kvar hayda b'chidush ha'olam. You know how powerful a mitzvah is? Not just simply a mezuzah. The putting of the mezuzah, the affixing the mezuzah on your door, is a proclamation to the world that the Rebbeinu Shem created the world. He's aware of what's going on, and he actually is involved in every little way. Vegan benevuah, and even in prophecy. Behemin bechol pinais hatayra. You see that interesting that a mezuzah it confirms, it's a confirmation of nevuah. Yeah? And that's why, by the way, yeshivas, by the letter of the law, do not have to have mezuzahs, because they're non-profit organizations. Oh, that was bad. Okay, vehemen b'chol, sorry. But you're also showing vehemen b'chol pinas ha'teri, you believe in everything that is in the term of ad, shehoide, shechesed ha'bar gadol ma'id. Aside from the admission, that the Rebbeinu Shalom does all these chasadim for me, for those al eisei ritzaynai, for those that fulfill His will, right? Because you're saying that the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to protect you, be based on keeping the mitzvahs, right? Sheitzionu me'eisei avdus l'cheres, because you're affirming the fact that the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out from that great servitude to freedom, the covet gadol. You got by putting up the mezuzah, and it's not just the mezuzah, but any mitzvah that's done, zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim. But the mezuzah is sort of, in a sense, if you could boil it down to a few dollars, right? You could say, you know, relatively, it's an easy mitzvah to do. You know, keeping a Shabbos maybe entails a lot more conditioning, a lot more discipline. But just putting up mezuzahs, which many people who are not even religious, they put a mezuzah up on their door. But hopefully they'll have in mind the right intentions. But the point is, by putting up a mezuzah,
they'll have the parchment in there.
Yeah, instead of comic strips.
Hey, yeah. I know some religious Jews who buy a mezuzah, put them up, say, you know, reading the encyclopedia,
Sadly, that is a reflection of many people's Judaism. It's the case and not the insides. Certainly, culturally, you know, they're trying to put up. It's, you know, if they have a certain, and some of them are traditional and they recognize it has some sort of significance. So. If that gets them to have in mind, as the Rambam says, you leave your house, you're supposed to kiss the mezuzah, have in mind, think about the Rebbeinu Shalom, he should protect you on your way out, to protect you on your way in. If they have that in mind, that is better than nothing, certainly. But in any case, all these sort of things is a proclamation, it's a confirmation that the Rebbeinu Shalom, that we believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom, we believe that the Rebbeinu Shalom is involved, and that he provides us tremendous chesed, and that at one point he already gave our nation a tremendous amount of chesed. Ulafika chamru, and that's why Chazal said in Avos, Havizor b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. Be very careful with the mitzvah kala, with a weak mitzvah or a small mitzvah, many different interpretations, kibachamura, like a stringent one. Be careful with a lenient one, or one that would seem to be a lenient or weaker mitzvah. Be careful with that, just like it was a stringent or a heavy mitzvah. Shekulon chamudas v'chavivas moed, because the value of every mitzvah is infinite. It's priceless. Shebechol shah adam ma'ide bohen laleikav, because with every mitzvah that we do, we are making an admission that the Rebbeinu Shalom is our the Almighty. He's our King and he's our one in control of everything. V'kavonas kol ha-mitzvah shenamin b'leikenu. You hear that? The intention of all mitzvahs. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom give us mitzvahs? That we should believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom. V'naydei lav shehu b'reinu. And we should admit before him that he is our creator. V'hi kavonas ha-yitzira. And that is the purpose of the creation of human beings in the first place. Oh, you're right. I said Bayreino. Yeah. That he created us. V'hi kavonas ha-yitzira. She'en lanu tam acher b'yitzira ishena. There was no other purpose in the original creation. V'ein kel elyon chafetz b'tachtonim. You hear this? What's the purpose of creation? Here it is. The only desire that Rabbi Shalom has in the human beings and the creatures of the lower world. Milvad she'yeda ha'adam v'yeda l'lekov she'barei. Hashem has no other interest. And there is no other purpose in creating this world other than having the creations confirm and admit that the Rebbeinu Shalom is the one, and recognize that the Rebbeinu Shalom is the one that created them. Now look at this. The kavanas raimus hakol betvilas. You ever wonder why it's so important to raise your voice in tefillah? You hear this? Unbelievable. Says the Ramban. You see how fundamental these words are. What's the purpose of davening? We daven like that? Oh, yeah, we have in mind. We should stand. We should meditate. How about meditation? Is that good form of tefillah? No, you have to raise your voice in tefillah. The kavonas batei knesiyos. And what do we have to gather together? Why do we have to have a beis haknesses? Why can't we pray with meditation in our own homes? Wouldn't that be more productive? I could focus better. I could, No, we have to have batei knesiyos where we gather. V'schus tefillas harabim. People come together. Why? Zehu sheyia lebnei adam makim. That people should have, the purpose is that people should have a place yiskabtu to gather. V'yoydu lekel shebarim. And should praise and thank and admit to the Rebbeinu Shalom's existence. V'himtziyam. V'yefarsimu zeh. V'yoymru lefanecha b'yaysecha anachnu. The purpose of a shul, the purpose of getting together for Tefillah B'Tzibur is that together, we should all gather together and say the words, or figuratively, B'riyaysecha anachnu. We recognize that you created us, that we are your creations. V'zu kavanosam b'masha omruzal. That's what their kavana was when they said, In the Yerushalmi, Chazal told us, based on the Pasuk in Yoyna, Vayikru Elohim B'chazka, they called out to Hashem, not just they davened with intensity. They called out to him very loud. They raised their voices. Mikana talamet she'tvila tzricha koil. From here we know that tvila requires koil. You have to raise your voice. Chatzifa noitzeach lebisha. Chatzifa means literally chutzpah, but it means not just arrogance. It means it's a good boldness. Okay, boldness will win over labisha. Bisha is negativity. Is the bad in the world. All right. So by raising one's voice, if you know, there's certain chassidus, I think the Stoner chassidim and others, when they daven, if you wanted to scream fire, you couldn't scream louder. They shout, and it's based on this, that the whole purpose of raising one's voice in tefillah is because we that's the whole purpose of the creation, that we should gather together and we should confirm, we should recognize and proclaim, B'riyaysecha anachnu, we are your creations. The what?
drink for the Kedusha. I'm a Western, but I get named Lawler. If anything, I want to meet you first beyond the number five.
Aren't you asking a question?
Yeah, I'm saying, when do you know?
When do you?
Yes.
You're asking when?
Yes.
Oh, you're saying that sometimes by Kedusha people raise it? Right, so Amen Yehesh Me Rabba, it says it should answer B'chol Kaych. There's some different parts of Tefillah that you're supposed to raise your voice, and even in Nevuot Siyah, in certain parts you're supposed to say loud, in certain parts not. Yeah, so where exactly is that's a different discussion. We're discussing now the whole purpose of this. But the Ramban is saying is that to have these mitzvahs, every mitzvah, even the smallest mitzvah, is a confirmation of the Ribbono Shel'olam's existence in this world. And that's why every mitzvah, no matter how petty it would seem to us, and how easy it would seem to us to fulfill, and how insignificant and small the mitzvah might seem, is really... the reward is infinite. It's an enormous, enormous mitzvah. Because each one confirms the Ribbono Shel'olam's existence. See, you know the famous story with the Vilna Gaon, and he was about to pass away. He started to cry. Why did he start to cry? He said, in this world, it's the land of opportunity. Not the United States of America. This world is the land of opportunity. Why, for a few pennies, you could fulfill a mitzvah like tzitzis. Tzitzis is also one of those mitzvahs. Every mitzvah, proclaiming the greatness of the Ribbono Shel'olam. And that's the whole purpose of creation. When you get up there, you can't do it anymore. There are those, I don't know if I read this in the book, you know Rav Scheinberg used to wear like a million pairs of tzitzis, right? Some claim that the reason, no one really, really knows the reason, but some claim that he once said that he was so moved by that story that he wanted to have a constant reminder of how much this world is a land of opportunity. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. At the end of days, when times of Yemei Mashiach will no longer, we won't want those days, and that's because the opportunity, the time of opportunity has finished. So long as you're there with the challenge, etc., you can actually grow. After times of Mashiach, when the Ribbono Shel'olam gets rid of the Yetzer Hara, it's not a time of opportunity anymore. So we have to appreciate that while every mitzvah, one seems to be more significant than the next. Some we have a better understanding of, some are more difficult to achieve. But every one inherently has that element of being able to proclaim Hashem's greatness and that He is the creator of the world, and therefore we should not make light of any of the mitzvahs. And then he says, and these words I put in bold here, because these are the, maybe from the most famous words the Ramban ever wrote. U'minanisim ha'gedoilim ha'mefursamim. And you should know that from the great miracles that are well known, and a person sees open miracles, ademoide benisim ha'nistarim. By doing that, by observing Hashem's world, and recognizing the open miracles, a person will admit to the, and recognize, either Maida means to admit it or means to praise Hashem for, the Nisim Anistarim, the so to speak, the hidden miracles. Yes? In our world, the truth is everything is a miracle. But we don't view it. The fact that we're walking around, that all the systems are working, even if most of the systems are working, enormous, enormous, enormous miracles. And the way to appreciate the great fortune that every human being has is to look around and to see the open miracles. Once you see the open miracles, then you open your eyes and you realize Hashem is involved, Hashem is in charge, He's in control of everything. So then, through that, you'll appreciate the hidden miracles, Shehem Yisoid HaTorah Kula, which is the basis for the whole Torah. She'ein L'Adam Chelek B'Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, a person does not have a portion in the Torah of Hashem, of Moshe Rabbeinu, ad shenamin b'chol dvareinu u'mekreinu, until he believes that everything that happens to us, shekulam nisim, that the truth is that everything that happens is a miracle, ein bohem teva u'minhogai shel olam klal. There's no such thing as nature. nature, the concept of Mother Nature, is the biggest Avodah Zarah possible. It's the biggest heresy, because the truth is, it doesn't, there's nothing that insists that everything, that the common facts of this world should continue to exist. This is a table, this is a chair, why the atoms and the molecules and are built that way, why this remains this way, this changes, and this has durability, this doesn't, this has endurance, this doesn't, this has longevity, this doesn't, why things get ruined, everything that happens in this world, essentially, we say, well, it follows the normal, the natural course of, no such thing as nature. These words, Ein bohem teva umenhoga shel olam klal, umenhoga shel olam, is so extremely important. Because the fact that you have a million people experiencing the same miracle doesn't minimize the miracle at all. Maybe in our eyes it does. Maybe we get used to it. We take it for granted, right? The fact that we have the miracle on a constant basis, it's a shame. It's a real shame that we take it for granted. But that's essentially what happens when you have it often enough. You become spoiled. Sure, it rains. Sure, a baby is born. Sure, a person achieves different milestones in their life. Nothing's a given. Everything is a gift from Hashem. And the truth is, that's what the Ramban is saying. There are what we call open miracles and concealed miracles, but the truth is there's no such thing as a concealed miracle. Concealed is only relative to our perspective. We have to open our eyes and recognize that the truth is everything is an open miracle. Because there are 7 billion human beings, and each one has a heart that's beating, doesn't mean that it makes any sense for the heart to beat. It doesn't mean that it makes any sense for that human to have been created in the first place. It defies any explanation. And the only reason is because the Rebbeinu Shlomo, in his infinite wisdom, wanted this to happen. He wanted to bestow goodness upon people, whatever the reason is. So he created the world and created human beings and created animals and created everything that's in the world and the universes. But the real truth is, aside from that reason, there's no reason in the world why these things should continue to exist. There's no reason why they were created in the first place. And so here, the Ramban is telling us that if we look around, we will recognize from the way being that we human beings are conditioned, unfortunately, to take things for granted. So what's the key? What's the trick? How do we go about recognizing the Rebbeinu Shlomo's goodness? Is to observe the Nisim HaGedolim, the things that really catch our attention because they're unusual and the usual and the day-to-day goings on in the world. So now things are unusual. Now we begin to appreciate that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is in control, and we look around and we say, you know what the real truth is? The fact that people are alive. And this is a day-to-day occurrence. You hear in the news, unfortunately, there's a child born, the Siamese twins. Yeah, the Siamese twins are born and they're sharing, the heart. They're sharing, who knows what. Yes, you begin to appreciate the way a human being is constructed and the fact that, you know, you don't have a defect or you don't have a problem that other people do have. Now, everybody has their challenges. So you can look around and say, look, I do have this challenge. They don't. But You appreciate what you do have, but when you look at other people, and in contrast, you see, unfortunately, you'll go around to hospitals, you go around to, you see people in social situations, you see people that are, being abused, people, who knows what kind of issues there are in this world, and when you don't have those things, if you have to open your eyes to see, you have to open up and appreciate and not take things for granted. So what do we do as human beings? We are prone to this kind of taking things for granted. It's a terrible, terrible midah, but the fact is that's the way we are. So what do? Says the Ramban, open your eyes. Open your eyes and see the open miracles. A child falls out of a building, 3 floors, and is caught by something and survives. So you have to appreciate that people are safe, right? For the most part, people are safe unless they do crazy things. Appreciate that. So that's the key. So now, says the Ramban, this all applies, Bein Barab and Bein Biyachad. Elam yasa hamitzus yatzichenu scharai, v'myavar aleim yachrisenu onshai, hakol b'gzeres elyon. Everything is directed by the master conductor. Kasher yizkarti kvar, like I mentioned earlier in Bereishis. Now, we'll quote a Ramban in a moment that speaks about how involved the Rabbeinu Shlom is, but we'll get to that. V'yisparsimu hanisim hanistarim be'inyan harabim, and especially in the realm of the public, you see how the nisim, the concealed nisim, are more so eventually revealed. Kasher yavai b'yehudei atayra b'inyan abrochas v'aklolis. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, he promises us by the brachas and the klolis, by the blessings and the curses. K'may shomer akosav. V'amru kol agoyim ameh osa Hashem kachal aretz hazais. Hashem promised, this is very much relevant to Erev Tisha B'Av. The Rabbeinu Shalom promised that if we do the right thing, things will go well. And if we do the wrong thing, it won't go well. Now you don't see this as much by if you look at individual people, but as a whole, the nation, the Jewish nation, prospers greatly when they're doing the right thing, and unfortunately the reverse when they're not doing the right thing. And you could see this. Now, why does that happen? So what he's saying is that if you follow the position of the Jewish people and you connect that, you match it up to their behavior, you'll see that nothing is a concealed miracle. If you really, you have to be interested in observing it. You have to analyze it. If you don't open your eyes, you're not going to see anything. But that's what he's saying, that if you look at the behavior of the Jewish people and you look at the way that Rabbeinu Shalom conducts himself, behaves towards us, you'll see that it's very much connected. So when Chas V'Shalom bad things happen, it says, V'omer kol goyim amai osa Hashem kochal aretz hazais. Why did Rabbeinu Shalom do this to this land? V'omru asher ozu es bris Hashem alikei ha'vayisam. You know why these terrible things happen to the Jewish people and to the Jewish land? Because they have forsaken the bris, the covenant of their forefathers. She sparsa madavar l'chol ha'umais sh'umais Hashem ba'in sham. It will be very clear to everybody that this is because of, as a punishment. Why are the Jewish people still in Golus 2,000 years later? Well, look at the behavior of the people, and that's what we will lament, unfortunately, tonight. Hopefully we shouldn't have to. V'omer b'kiyum, and with the fulfillment of the Torah, it says, "Uru'u v'ro kol ami aretz kishem Hashem nikra lecha v'yoro mimeko." And when we do the right thing, all the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is upon you. V'yoro mimeko, they'll fear you. And this is natural, in a sense, the Ramban is saying. This is natural. It seems to be a miracle if you analyze it, but we take it for granted. You know the famous story with the Vilna Gaon. He was wearing his tefillin. There was a non-Jew that was running around terrorizing the Jewish people in Vilna. So the Vilna Gaon said, send him to me. So the guy came to him, and he was wearing his tefillin, as he would always do, and he took away his, uncovered his tefillin, he took away his talis, and he revealed his tefillin to the guy, and the guy got so frightened, he ran away. So someone came over to the Vilna Gaon afterwards, and he said, oh, wow, big Mephis, you know, he's a big... did a big miracle. He says, it's not a big miracle. The Pasuk says, V'ro kol ami aretz kishem Hashem nikra lecha. The nations of the world will see if the name of Hashem is upon you, V'yaro mimeka, then they'll fear you, right? So it takes a Vilna Gaon. You know, I think if I would reveal my tefillin to a non-Jew, I don't think he'd be scared and run away. But the holiness of the Vilna Gaon's tefillin and the way he kept it, that the non-Jew would look at him and they would see that the name of Hashem is upon him. Ah, so he feared, so he, the Vilna Gaon said, that's natural. It's a natural occurrence, it's a natural result of showing them the tefillin. That's what the Pasuk is saying. So the truth is, the Ramban is going to tell us, we'll see in a moment, that it's because we commonly view it and refer to it as a natural occurrence, what's an open miracle, what's a concealed miracle, what's a natural occurrence. We have different expressions, and it's very easy to get confused. So the Ramban says like this, I just brought here the Ramban from Parshas Vaera, Vaera Lavram, that's the new paragraph here in the middle of page 31. So the Ramban says like this, Vaera Lavram, Bekel Shaka, Shmi Hashem Le'Nadati Lehem, says the Ramban, V'inyin HaKosov, Ki Nira La'Avais B'Shem Hazeh, Shehu, minatzeach marachei shemayim velasis imam nisim gedolim shelin hisbatal mehem minig ha'olam. The Rebbein Shalom, even with the avos, even with our forefathers who deserved open miracles, Hashem dealt with them. He conducted his dealings with them in such a way that it seemed like it was natural occurrences, right? So let's say Berav Pada Isam, there was a famine, and he saved them from the famine. Berav Pada Isam Imaves, Uba Mochamim Midei Cherev, and in war he saved them from the sword. Velaslehem Oishav Echaved Chalteva, and he gave them all sorts of good things. Vehem Kechol HaYehudim Shabbatayra Berk Brachas Eklalis. And this was as a result of all the promises that the Rebbein Shalom made for the brachas and the klolis that you have in the Torah, that if you do the right thing, you'll get brachas, and you do the wrong thing, chas v'shalom, the opposite. Ki lo yisavai al adam taiva b'schar mitzvah. It will not befall a person the goodness as a reward for a mitzvah. Ayirah b'ayinish aveira, or punishment for aveira, rak b'maisa hanes. You should know that the real truth is that it takes intervention on the part of the Rabbi Shalom. It really is essentially a miracle that a person gets a bracha for after doing good things and a kalala chas v'shalom otherwise. That really is an intervention. It's an unusual change in the world. V'im yunach adam l'tivai, because if a person would just throw his chance up to the natural course of things, olam azolay, or to his luck, lo yisivu by ma'isav davar v'lo yigru mimenu. The truth is, if everything was left to happenstance, a person's actions would have no bearing on the outcome of his situation, of his existence. It would have no bearing whatsoever. But reward and punishment in this world for keeping the Torah, hakol nisim v'heim nistarim. Very important words. The truth is that the natural course of events theoretically should be that just things go along, you know, as they go. There's nature, there are forces of nature, things come, things go, survival of the fittest, whatever you call it, right? But the hashgacha that the Rebbeinu Shalom deals with us, with the divine intervention and the providence with which Hashem deals with us, those are really nisim. Behave. Now Hashem says, I'll change the teva. I'll change the common course. You don't behave, chas v'shalom, the opposite. But those are really concealed nisim. It seems like Hashem does it in such a way that it seems like, yeah, he happened to become rich, or he happened to have good health for many years, or he happened to have whatever it may be. But the truth is, but really the truth is, it's a reward and punishment. And that's why you find an interesting thing, the Ramban says, when the Torah makes promises, what do you find? It doesn't make promises about Olam Haba. It hints to that. But the main promises that the Torah, you look in the Shema, right? V'hayim Shemaya, right? What does the Rebbeinu Shalom give us? And the Rambam asks this question, right? The truth is, the Rambam discusses this. Why is it that the Torah tells us, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, why does the Torah tell us that if we do the right thing, we'll get good crops and we'll get good things? What? These are all, just tell us, we'll get Olam Haba. So the Rambam says that this is to give us the wherewithal to be able to fulfill mitzvahs. The schar that we'll get up there, that's a different discussion, right? But that's basically what he's saying. He's saying that the reason why the Torah gives all sorts of promises that if you behave, you'll get these things. It doesn't discuss the reward you're going to have in the Olam HaNasham is up there in the heavenly spheres. Why? Ki eile meifsim shekineged hatelda. V'kiyom ha-nefesh v'davhe be'elakim hu davar ro'ui b'toldasa shehi tashav alakim ha-shenosna. Says the Ramban like this. Whatever Hashem does for us in this world is really a miracle. It's against nature. It's against the forces of nature that he put into place. Force of nature, whatever happens, happens. Happenstance. What does Hashgacha Pratis mean? That as a direct result of my actions, hopefully all to the good, Hashem will intervene and give us specifically special things that are reward. You know why the Torah says if you do good things, you'll get a good crop, you'll get money, you'll get this. And it doesn't talk about the Elam Haba, because you know why? Because what you're going to get when your neshama goes up to Elam Haba, that's natural. That's totally natural. That is the usual course of events. You behave down here, your neshama will go back to its original source, go back to the Rebbein Shalom, to Chelek HaLekam Imal, and it will reap the benefits of what it did down here. That's all the natural. There's no intervention needed by the Rebbein Shalom. Unbelievable thing the Ramban is saying. But here in this world, when you do a mitzvah, and as a result you get a reward, or chas v'shalom the other way, it's Hashem intervening. Hashem's changing the tracks. Hashem is, what do you call the guy by the train? The guy who changes the direction, changes which track the train is. Not the one who signals, the one who changes the tracks. He changes changes the direction. That's what the Rebbein Shalom's doing. Depending on how we behave, He's going to change the tracks in which direction we're going to go. But it takes intervention. So says the Ramban, you know why? It keeps on telling us in the Torah why we should get the, we're going to get this, or we're going to get this as a reward, or that as chas v'shalom a punishment. Because that's a chiddush. That's not the normal course of events. Hashem will intervene, and he'll change tracks and give us bracha. Says the Ramban, and all that is constant nisim, reward and punishment in this world, which we do have, some of it is in this world, that's all mini concealed nisim going on every single second of the day. The fact that your neshama is going to go up there and get the reward up there, that's not an ace at all. That's the natural course of what happens to your neshama when it goes up there after you do such wonderful things in this world after 120 years. Unbelievable thing. So the Ramban really earlier alludes to this, that that's the whole purpose of everything in the world, and you can actually see, how could you see all these little nisim? If all these miracles are actually transpiring around us every single day, every single second, how do we see them? The answer is we have to open up our eyes and look for the dramatic, unusual nisim that he makes on a usual day. I don't know if it means by reading the news, because usually that's not very reliable. But just think, open your eyes. Open your eyes and observe and look around and try to seek out the truth. If you do that, then you'll realize that what's going on around you, the fact that you have a tzaddik like Rabbi Yashiv, who lived till he was 102 or 103 years old, there's a reason for that. Absolutely there's a reason for that. Whatever he did have, good fortune and health in his life, was for one reason. Because Hashem intervened every second of the day to make sure that he lives that long. Now, why is it that they're not always, tzaddikim don't always live very long? That's a different discussion. But you should just know that when these things happen, it's a mini miracle happening every second of the day, and it's by way of Hashem's intervention every second of the day. We need to open up our eyes and recognize that. Is there another shir now, or what? Should we try to finish this off very quickly? There's two very interesting things that the Zohar says about this mitzvah, not nearly in the same vein as we were talking about. The first one is V'etzem le'sish b'rubai l'hares bei b'zayin, to deliberately show b'zayin, to show degradation to the bones. How could that be? Take the bones of such a holy mitzvah. Till now we said it's not to show b'zayin. Don't break the bones, right? Till now the pshat we have is don't break the bones, because this is a, like I think it was the Barbanel who was the one from the beginning. The first pirush up there, yeah, the Barbanel. They covet a carbon, a kodesh. Ah, such a wonderful carbon. How could you possibly, right? So says the Zohar, the opposite. Deliberately to show b'zayin to this thing. What does that mean? And we said this earlier, that if there's no basar, if there's no flesh, any flesh left on the bone, so then it doesn't have the kedusha of the carbon anymore. So maybe that explains why this could be. But this is what the Zohar says. U'b'chol lehem Mitzrayim means to show bezayin to all the gods of the Egyptians. Ki ha'atzama yishayu mushlachim b'shuk. What would they do with the bones? They would throw them out into the street. Ubo klovim, v'hu gayurim ha'yisim yimakom ha'makom. The dogs would come and drag them around. V'zaya kashalam yikol. This to the Egyptian was the worst possible. This was their god. Here, the bones of the gods are being... Ki ha'atzama yishayim tikun ha'guf. V'daimim ke'ein tzado acher. This is like the bones are the structure of the guf. Of the body, and to them this was like the big god, their god. The Yisrael shlichos and b'shuk b'derech b'zayin. The Klal Yisrael just threw them into the street b'derech b'zayin as a degradation, and that's why it says v'etzem leisishbru b'ay. Hashem says, I want them to be complete. I want those bones to be whole, so that everybody could see it. Atem leisishbru avoklovim hayubayim v'shayvrim ayisai. The dogs could come and break them. Rabbi Greenspan, is it okay if we take another 3 minutes, yeah? So that's diametrically opposed to what the Abarbanel was saying, that the carbon is so holy, so to treat it with respect. No, we're saying just the opposite. Take the bones, throw them in the street, so that the dog should drag them around, because this would be the biggest bezayin, as Neil said, to the god of the Egyptians. Another idea that's found in the Zohar is that the Mitzrayim would come, and the Virayim Elo Atzamais, Shahaklovim Seichvim Aisam, Imakam Amakam, Vishayvim Aisam. The Mitzrayim themselves would come, and they would see that the dogs are driving them around, they're dragging them around. So, Hoya Mitzrayim, Taim Aisam Ba'aretz. They used to take the bones, they used to, you know, oh, yeah, this is my holy God, you know, I've got to put it out. So, they used to bury it. Kedei Shahaklovim Aisam, that the dogs shouldn't find it. Anybody knows anything about dogs knows they can find it anyway, but all right. Okay? I know that very little about it, but I just know one thing is that they could dig up bones. V'zehu bitul akum hagadol b'yaser mitzidam. This is the biggest batala, the biggest nullification of their gods. They themselves took the Avodah Zarah and buried it. U'bazen is Allah Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydeh. One of the ways to get rid of Avodah Zarah that's discussed is to bury it. So here, there was a great elevation of Hashem's name and His honor because the Goyim themselves, this was their Avodah Zarah, and they were forced to bury the Avodah Zarah as if they're, you know, getting rid of it. V'nichnoyim kol koichas acherim, all the other powers, so to speak, acherim leivdeim, but all the other gods, the strange gods, would be viewed as being buried and gotten rid of. So it was even better the fact that it was done by the Mitzrayim themselves. Not that we did it, not that we destroyed it, but that they themselves had to bury it. Hashem says, keep them intact. You know why? Because we want the Goyim themselves, while it has an appearance of their Avodah Zarah, we want them to do the action of being mevatel their Avodah Zarah by putting it into the ground, of nullifying their Avodah Zarah. And they themselves should be doing it, and through that, you couldn't have found a bigger honor to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The next piece is Sefer Neyamim HaMitzvahs. We're not going to go through it now. If you have a chance, you can. But I think this concludes our series of mitzvahs on the Pesach and all the similar mitzvahs, and Bezus Hashem, El will do Sefer Hilchos Tshuva, but we'll Bezus Hashem get back to the mitzvahs next year. Should be in Yerushalayim HaKadosh, should be able to rejoice with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim B'Karev Mam.